CHD3 Detroit, KMPS HD3 Seattle, WBMX HD3 Boston,
and on AOL Radio
and Yahoo Launchcast.
CBS Radio's The New Sky.
Intuitive Song with host Lori Houston, a professional and intuitive counselor who offers authentic guidance and tools to assist you to become more conscious and connect with your divine soul, to empower you to move from your heads to your heart. Join Lori Houston with co-host Nancy Aruda, in-house astrologer, every first and third Wednesday of the month. Plus, Jennifer Kautz, our dream analysis, also joins the team. Plus, Lori can be heard on Sky Radio every Monday with Jean Adrienne on Voices of Soul, Wednesday and Friday from 1 to 2 p.m. Eastern each day. If you have any questions on your relationships, limiting beliefs, energy that's blocking you, and or awakening your true power as you journey from your head to your heart, call Lori Houston now.
248-545-SOUL.
CBS Radio's The Sky.
Believe.
Good afternoon. This is Intuitive Soul. Today we have Tom Campbell with us. Now, Tom is usually with us every last Friday of the month. We had some, well, let's just say we had a really interesting topic to discuss like a week and a half ago on our last show, and I wanted to continue the discussion. Tom's amazing. He comes from a different perspective, very much a scientific background, but also has an in-depth understanding of spirituality, and he can be found on the internet. He wrote a series of books called My Big Toe, so his website has hyphens in between, so my-big-toe.com, and you can find him there. You can also Google his name, either Tom or Thomas Campbell. And you can find an enormous amount of information on YouTube where you can listen for days and days on his some of his workshops and his talks. And it's just amazing how much information he offers to people. And I love having Tom on the show because he just has this very gentle way of bringing us back into the core of what we're talking about. So welcome, Tom.
Well, thank you so much, Lori. It's my pleasure to be here and on time today.
We didn't want to mention that aspect. Well,
I noticed you're being very, very kind. I noticed. Here I am.
You are. And so anyway, we were discussing kind of when the law of attraction doesn't work like a week and a half ago, almost 2 weeks ago. And I wanted to bring you back because we were sort of talking about afterwards, the fact that there are different laws that are in effect. And you said they're not really laws, they're kind of relationships. And so I want to explore that because I think that's really important in our understanding. And we keep calling it the law of attraction, but, you know, there's also duality and karma and projection. And so anyway, let's sort of play around with these thoughts and ideas and what you and how you see them from a quantum physics perspective instead of just the spiritual perspective that they sort of are being discussed.
Okay, well, when you talk about them in terms of laws like the law of attraction or the law of karma, those sorts of things, it's kind of a mystical law, right? It's just this thing that works this way, but nobody really knows why. And that leads a person into, coming up with kind of a fixed definition of what this law is. And then it's really strange when it doesn't work or when it doesn't seem to work or when it only works this way or that way. And then there's lots of arguments over, what's going on there. But if you don't look at it as a law, you just look at it as part of the nature of reality. It's the way it is. If you understand consciousness and reality and how it works, then these things aren't laws. They're just natural, natural logical outcomes of the nature of reality. It's just how reality works. And then it's clear why it works, why sometimes it doesn't, what its nuances are, because it's something that you understand rather than some kind of mystical law that is beyond understanding. It's a very simple logical process, and you have these kind of logical derivatives of this knowledge, and then it all becomes clear, and it's not so mystical, it's science. So, where would you like to start? Which one of these laws would you like to hear the science of how that law works?
Well, we did touch on the law of attraction last time, and I guess part of my emphasis on this is that, quite often the law of attraction doesn't work the way we want it to or the way we think it's supposed to work. And as you were talking about the fact that it becomes this mystical law and not really us understanding it from the right perspective. But, are there things that can interfere with this specific law or this specific understanding of how attraction works? Can things interfere? Like, I want to talk about karma because I think karma is one of those very misunderstood laws or relationships. Yes. So why don't we start there?
Okay. There was with karma? Or you just talked about two of them and then said start there, so you confused me.
I'm sorry.
My poor little scientific left brain, needs a specific direction.
Let's start with the law of karma, just because I think it is so very misunderstood.
Okay. Yeah, it is. Sometimes you will find that people have made it so specific that if you spit in someone's face because you're angry, then somebody's going to have to spit in your face, to make it all balance out. It's one of those things. Whatever you do that's not nice or nice, either one, then it comes back to you kind of in exactly the same way you do it.
Well, it's kind of like when somebody gets shot and they say, oh, well, don't feel sorry for them because in another life they were a murderer.
You're right. They shot somebody. And so, it's not like that at all. That's not the way it works. The fundamentals are that this is a virtual reality and we have a purpose here. And our purpose in this reality frame is to grow up, become love, to raise the quality of our consciousness, as I say, or lower our entropy. Those are kind of technical or scientific terms for this, but it's to become love. That's an easy term to understand. So that's what we're supposed to be doing, and it's like a schoolhouse. We have experiences here in this virtual reality, and we interact. Things happen. Stuff happens, and we have to deal with it. That's kind of the short story. And depending how we deal with it by making choices, choices how to be, choices how to react, choices what to do next, choices how to feel, all these choices we have. And if we make good choices, then we grow up. We become, more of us becomes love. We move away from fear and toward love. And that's the point. Okay, so we have that as a basis. Now, what's karma? Karma basically means is that there's no free lunch. There's no pass. You don't get moved to the next grade just because you've been in the last grade for a long time. It's not like the public school system, right? Where if you live long enough, you'll pass and you'll graduate. It's not like that here in this reality. If you don't get it right, if you don't learn your lesson, then you get to do it again. And if you still don't get to do it right, you get to do it again, and so on. And do it again doesn't mean the exact same thing. It just means you work on those issues that you have that are in your way, the ego, the fear, the beliefs, the expectations, all these things that you have that are holding you back. You continue to work on them. So if you have an anger management problem and you're constantly getting angry, well, that's just ego and fear. Then you will be put in situations that challenge that ego and challenge that fear because it gives you opportunity to get over them, to make different choices. So that's the idea of karma. Yes, you will keep dealing with things that you need to deal with. So that's kind of the fundamentals of karma. Now, if we apply that in a particular life, somebody who, let's say, had the anger management problem, so next time around they get put in a place where, guess what, they have lots of opportunities to rise above that. In other words, they're put in the place that'll maybe make them angry or where anger is one of their choices. But a choice, of course, that has pain. So if they keep making the wrong choice, then it keeps hurting. They keep having pain. So the point is, they're supposed to go, aha, what's going on here? You know, if you keep doing the same thing you've always done, you keep getting the same result you've always gotten. You know, maybe you need to change. So you tend to get those things that you need. So it's not that you murdered somebody, so now you have to be murdered. That's very simplistic. It's that you murdered somebody. You've got a problem with, you know, with your anger and with your sense of value of life. So you get to be put in a situation where you really get to appreciate life, where appreciating life is a lesson for you. And maybe that's because you get to be born, you know, as a starving child in Biafra, and you get to appreciate life because you hang on to it by the fingernails. So whatever, it's not the you murdered somebody, you get to be murdered. That's kind of a, what, I don't know what to say, maybe a, you know, a third grade approach to life. You know, it's just very simple, right? Very black and white, very simple things that are easy to understand, but it doesn't really work that way. So you also, you know, think of it like you reap what you sow. You know, that's another saying that is very similar. If you are kind, then you tend to find a kinder environment. You know, if you show a lot of ego, you find environments that where you interact with a lot of ego because you need to rise above it. If you avoid it, you won't learn your lesson. So that's really the fundamentals of karma. It's not a law. It's just the nature of the way reality works. So once you understand that, then you can kind of see the big picture of it, and it no longer becomes this law in which you're trapped. You know, oh, well, nothing I can do about that. You know, that's just karma. Well, you know, there's always something you can do about that. You can grow up. You can change. So if you get the fatalistic viewpoint that you know, your life was just designed this way and, you know, it's your destiny to, you know, to be murdered and that's okay. Well, that kind of ruins your ability to grow out of it. Now you're just kind of throwing up your hands and saying, you know, I have no free will. You know, things happen because it's been planned this way. And, you know, who am I to, you know, to struggle with that? You know, well, that's a very wrong viewpoint and that will retard your growth rather than help it. So the law of karma is no law at all. It's just the nature of the reality that we live in and the purpose that we have here for evolving the quality of our consciousness.
Right. And so it's truly our soul's way of assisting us to evolve. I mean, it's really that's pretty much that simple. It's assisting us to move towards that.
Yes, you could say our soul's way of helping us. You could say, you know, the larger consciousness system's way of helping us. If you're religious, you could say God's way of helping us or any of those things. You know, it doesn't really matter the metaphor you use to say that. But basically the system is there to help us evolve and gives us the challenges that we need to change ourselves with. So if you happen to be thinking that your life is difficult and you have all these kind of terrible things going on, well, those are your opportunities. You see, don't look at them as terrible things going on. Look at them as opportunities to change what you're doing, to change yourself, not at the intellectual level, but at the being level, to change how you make your choices.
Right. Because that's where our free will comes in. It is all about our choices.
It's us, and we get to make the choices of all the things that we could, various things that we could do and ways we could interact. It's our choice, and we have responsibility for those choices. So we can't slough off our responsibility on the law of karma. You know, we can't help it. That's karma. We have to take responsibility for our choices that we make, and we can't complain about, well, it's that cruel world out there that, you know, makes our life so miserable. It's not. It's the choices you make that makes your life happy or miserable.
Right. All right. That's awesome. Thank you. We're going to go to our first break. When we come back, we will talk more about different realities that we have that may impact us on soul level or helping us, assisting us. I guess they're all assisting us towards our evolution towards love. But you're listening to Intuitive Soul with Tom Campbell and Lori Houston on Sky Radio, powered by CBS.
Enlighten, empower. Enrich. This is CBS Radio's The New Sky.
New horizons, no boundaries.
You've imagined. Look up to the sky.
This is Intuitive Soul with Lori Houston.
248-545-SOUL.
Myself, a threadbare gypsy soul.
CBS Radio's The New Sky.
NewSkyRadio.com.
Welcome back. This is Intuitive Soul. Today we have Thomas Campbell with us, and Tom is... Well, I can never say enough about Tom. He is a nuclear physicist. He talks about quantum physics. He brings everything from a science perspective, but he brings it all to the love vibration and the spirituality that I like to talk about and come from. But he comes from a different way, and we all get to the same place, which I think is always so amazing. You can find out a lot of information about Tom just by Googling his name, and definitely YouTube is a great place to start. You could get lost in there for weeks, probably, just hearing his different perspectives on everything that's available that he offers. So today we're talking about, again, I didn't even know what to call it now, but I guess the different laws that impact us. We talked about karma, and I wanted to talk about projection. Just because some people think it's the opposite of the law of attraction. Projection is where we see where everything around us is our mirror. And I don't know if it's the opposite of attraction, because in some ways it doesn't feel like it is. In some ways it may. I don't really know. But I do know that we don't like taking responsibility, so everything is put in front of us to see it by other people so that we can sort of understand it and make different choices, I believe. Tom?
Okay, well, how would you state the, is there some law, a law of projection?
People have called it a law. I don't know if it's a law or if it's just the way things are. And I don't know if it always has to continue that way. But certainly one way of us understanding where we are is certainly by looking at everything around us, because it does certainly reflect back to us what we need to see.
Right. Well, the reason that that happens and the reason that it seems to reflect back to us is that when, you know, we are consciousness, we have to start from the very basics of the system. So we are an individuated unit of consciousness, and we're, this consciousness is a digital information field. Okay. Consciousness, the larger consciousness system, it's like a big computer in a way. Now, again, a big computer, that's analogy. It's not really a big computer, but that's just one way we can think of it. It's a digital information system, and we are pieces of that consciousness. And what we do is we receive and send data. That's what things in digital information systems do. They exchange data. So that's what we are as consciousness. Now, we get data, and when we get data, we have to interpret the data, and we interpret the data based on what's inside of us. In other words, we interpret the data based on our own fears, our ego, our knowledge, our experience. All of that I'll just call our experience base. So when you interact with another being, with another person, you get data, you get information, and it comes through your senses. At least that's what you imagine, that it comes through your senses. So you pick up information. You may hear things, see things, feel things, smell things, you know, all this, and that's the data you get. And then you have to interpret it in terms of your own experience base. So if you interpret it in terms of your own experience base, guess what? You know, that's your projection of yourself onto that data. You do project. So when you look at a person and you start being judgmental of that person, you know, well, why, what are they feeling? Why are they feeling that way? You know, what should they be feeling? Basically, you're projecting yourself onto that person. So if that data would have made you angry, then you project anger onto the person, you know, that gets that data, that sort of thing. So we expect everybody else to be like us, because us is all we know. You know, we know us, and we know our own motivations and why we do things and under what circumstances we have certain feelings and emotions and so on. And we expect everybody else has have similar kinds of feelings and emotions and understandings that we do. So in that sense, we do project ourselves onto our reality, and we have beliefs. And when we have beliefs, we project that belief onto reality. So when we get data that doesn't match with our belief, well, you know, we just let that go by. You know, we don't deal with it. We ignore it like it never happened, because it doesn't fit with our belief. So, you know, that just gets, you know, kind of ignored. When we get something that matches our belief, then we say, ah, yeah, I knew that. You know, of course, that's the way it has to be. So we selectively look at the data in a through a filter, in a very, I don't know what to say. You know, it's sort of like looking at something in a funhouse mirror, you know, or through glasses that are warped tinted. So that's how we see reality. And we see the whole world, all of our interactions, all of the people, our relationships are all affected. They're all filtered and modified by our own projections onto them. So that's why we tend to see ourselves, you know, in everybody else. You know, you say we use other people and other situations as mirrors, but, you know, in a way that's true. It's not a law. It's just the nature of the way reality works. Reality is passing data, and the only way you can interpret data is from your own personal viewpoint. You can't interpret it any other way. If you get data and it's something you have absolutely no knowledge or experience with, you don't have any way to interpret it. You don't have any context to put it in. So it doesn't really have any meaning. So what you do then is you just make something up. You know, you get your closest approach, your closest pattern match, if you will, to that data, and that's what you call it. So you've maybe never seen a duck, but you've seen, you know, things that fly and have wings. Well, you then just, you know, put that in that category. So if you've never really seen love and you've never really seen concern and care those sorts of feelings, if you've never really experienced that, then you don't ever find that. If all you've experienced is struggle and ego and competition, then that's all you find in the world, because that's what you are, you see? So that's how that works. It's, again, we're not talking about some sort of mysterious or mystical law here. It's just the nature of the way reality is and how we interact with it.
Wow. Yeah. Like I said, Tom makes things sound so gentle and simple, and that's an amazing understanding of how that works, because it makes me realize just how much it is our own judgments and perceptions that we see upon the world, and not truly allowing that person to be, and that everything is filtered through our own understanding of how we perceive the world. So if we don't move into this state of love, then we truly do get stuck in our own fears and our own ego. Okay.
Sure.
Well,
yeah. If we are people based in fear and ego, which most of us are, then we see a world based in fear and ego. Yeah. And we see somebody who actually is very loving and somebody who is very compassionate, and we project our own fear and ego on them. We don't see that love and compassion. If they come and they say, well, you know, how can I help you? We think, what do they want? You
yeah.
see?
Yeah.
We create our own reality in many ways, and this is just one of those ways in which we create our reality. We create it by how we interpret the data that we receive. And, you know, it's a very kind of familiar thing. You've heard of the, you know, men are from Mars and women are from Venus thing.
Yes.
And that's just a small subset of that very same thing playing out, where people interpret based on, you know, what's inside themselves, and therefore they miss what's really going on out in the world. They're
yeah.
just constantly seeing a reflection of themselves. They expect, you know, the men expect the women to act like men, and the women expect the men to act like women, because that's the way they know it, and signals get lost between that. They don't really appreciate or understand where the other's coming from or what the other's needs are and so on, because they can't see it from any perspective other than their own. Well, that's a trap. If you can't see the world in any perspective but your own, you're creating a reality in your own image. And if that image isn't pretty, then you're kind of stuck there. So again, you know, we end up with the same conclusion. You know, your job is to grow up, to change, to make better choices, open
yeah.
up, see the big picture.
Yeah. Wow. Let's talk about duality, just in, because so many people say, oh, you know, duality is our big problem, and, you know, eventually we'll be in a place where there is no duality. And honestly, my mind can't comprehend what that would even look like. I know we're not going to have a lot of time before we go to our next break, but what does duality mean? And then we'll go to break, and then we'll come back and talk more about it.
Do you mean duality in the sense of the kind of the spiritual and the physical, you know, that sort of a duality?
Well, everybody explains everything as duality, black and white, male and female, good and bad. Yeah.
Well, that's almost a semantic issue. You know, you can get into definitions of things,
right.
And things are often defined in terms of what they are not. You know, light, you know, you can say the dark is the absence of light. You know, there is no such thing as dark. It's just the absence of light. Well, that's just really a semantics game. You know, dark is dark and light is light. Things are, we have opposites. You know, if you have cold, then the opposite, whatever's opposite of cold, we call hot. So there's no magic about that. That's just semantics and language, and words tend to have opposite meanings. And in that sense, anything kind of has an opposite thing, perhaps, just That's just a semantic issue. And that sort of duality is not too surprising. It's just the nature of language, nature of symbols. Whatever your symbol and metaphor is, there's another symbol and metaphor that can be used to mean the opposite thing. So duality in that case does. It always exists because it's just if you have a penny, it has a, you know, it has a head and a tail. You can't have a penny just with one head. It's always got to have the other side. So that nature of duality is kind of trivial because it's just the nature of our, you know, reality and of our language and the way we talk in metaphors and symbols that it should be that way, and it doesn't have any particular big picture significance at all. But then if you're talking about the duality, like between the physical and the spiritual, the mental and the physical, you know, physics and metaphysics, that sort of thing, there seems to be two different worlds here, two different realms, and you know, how do the two interact, and are they really the same, and is there a viewpoint in which they are just all one, and they're not two separate things? Now, that I would say is a more profound sense of
okay.
Duality.
So when we come back from break, we will talk about that, because I'm curious. That I want to understand that one. All right, so you're listening to Intuitive Soul with Tom Campbell and Laurie Houston on Sky Radio, powered by CBS.
Feng Shui for the Soul. CBS Radio's The New Sky.
New horizons, no boundaries.
NewSkyRadio.com.
Exchange, no time to exchange you and all the little lamps are marching, red and black and timber waving. They all do it the same. They all do it the same way. Down the mountain, think my thoughts are up, sweet tooth, talk shit on my way around.
Is now CBS Radio's The Sky.
Back to Intuitive Soul with Laurie Houston.
248-545-SOUL.
248-545-7685. NewSkyRadio.com.
Welcome back. This is Intuitive Soul. Today we have Tom Campbell with us. We're talking about the different ways to understand our reality, and whether they're laws or whether they're just ways for us to experience life. We started talking about duality right before the break and the semantics of duality, and I'd like to explore that with the understanding of what you think, what you believe people are talking about when they say we'll be getting rid of duality.
Okay, yeah, they're not really talking about the semantic duality that we mentioned before. You know,
right.
Hot and cold will always be there, you know, particularly in running water right in the morning. That's good. That's not a bad thing. We want that duality. What they're talking about is the seeming duality between the physical and the non-physical, the spiritual, you know, and the scientific, the science, or we say physics and metaphysics. You know, these things seem to be opposites that, say, within science, within that hardcore left brain science of physics, you know, where is spirituality? You know, and physicists would say, well, it just doesn't belong. You know, those are two separate things. And within spirituality, where is that left brain, you know, logical process? Well, it doesn't belong. You know, so we see these things as kind of opposite things. And in fact, what people are talking about, I think, that when they talk about that duality will end or should end, they're talking about these things are not, can I say, they're not really different things. They're different views of the same thing. That's really what the My Big Toe trilogy is all about. It's about unifying those things. It's about seeing that physics and metaphysics are all part of the same thing. They're all derivable from one fundamental understanding. So you have one fundamental understanding, and that's an understanding of consciousness and the nature of our reality. And from there, you can derive both the physics and the metaphysics based, you know, and I say derive, I mean logically, you know, derive both of those, physics and metaphysics, from that one understanding. So then we realize that there isn't really a big difference. Like you have two separate things. It's one thing, and you have different aspects of that one thing, different ways of looking at the larger reality. So it's all just one reality. There's not like a reality that's the physical world and then a reality that's the non-physical world, and those are very different. It's all one reality. Whether a particular a particular world or a particular reality frame is physical or non-physical is just the perspective of the observer. When you're in your dream world, that seems physical, and the world we live in, Earth here, seems non-physical. It doesn't really exist in your dream world. Your dream world is a physical world because that's where your perspective is. And then when you're not dreaming and you're here, the dream world seems non-physical and this world seems physical. So there is really no physical or non-physical. It's all the same thing. The spiritual quality and evolution and spiritual growth, all those things, they're a fundamental that underlies everything else. So we don't have that rational left brain world, and it's a separate thing from that holistic right brain world. We have one world, and it has many different reality frames in it, many different ways of seeing and viewing and experiencing and interpreting that world. And if we see it all as just one thing, in that case, the duality does go away. In other words, we can understand physics, that hardcore left brain science, within the same context that we can understand metaphysics or love or caring. You know, in my books, you know, love is measured in terms of entropy. You see, it's a logical quantity, not just kind of an amorphous spiritual quality. So in that way, when we can overcome those barriers, then we can stop calling each other names and realize that we're not nice names, I mean, and see that we're really all, you know, it's really all one thing. We're all part of this one thing, it's not two separate things. It's not those dumb scientists who have their heads, you know, all focused on the minutia of life and don't really see the bigger picture, or all those right brainers who see the bigger picture but can't find their way home in the evening. You know, it's not like that. It's that it's all really one thing. We're all in this together, and it's kind of one understanding then breaks down those barriers. So what's the difference between, say, a hard science like physics and chemistry and a soft science like sociology or psychology? Well, it's just the amount of uncertainty. With hard science happens to be the logic of systems where there's little uncertainty because of the rule set that defines our reality. And the soft sciences, like psychology, happen to be, logical systems where there is a lot more uncertainty involved, because you're dealing with people, and people are very uncertain. They're not like, balls rolling down hills where you can calculate exactly what's going to happen next. There's a lot of unknowns. They have conscious awareness, and they modify the variables as they go. So once you see the bigger picture, you see that one's just, here's this big picture, and the physics is just a subset of it under certain conditions, and the metaphysics is another viewpoint. So right. That's what I think they're talking about. So when that day comes that we don't have that duality, then that means that people will have a bigger picture. They won't be right brain, left brain dominant. They'll be whole brained, and they will see it all. They will be able to live in multiple reality frames. They will understand, the dream frame, as well as there's dozens of other reality frames that we can exist in besides the dream frame and this physical frame. And all of these will be available. And suddenly, instead of becoming just a scientist stuck in the left brain world and can't see anything outside of that, or just a right brainer, in woo-woo land, right, and can't really get into logical process, that people will see that all of it is valid. It's all okay. It's not that either end of it is dysfunctional. It's just that you need to see the whole picture. Live as a citizen of the larger reality. Be aware that you are consciousness. And then everything makes sense, and everything is okay. So that's just a bigger view. And in that way, duality goes away. It's all part of one thing.
Right. It's very interesting, because I think as when we first started this conversation, once we make something a law, people try to explain it in different ways, and clearly a lot of people have misunderstood it mm-hmm. as in all of the different ones we've spoken about, and we seem to see it from our own perspective. So a lot of people were, trying to say, well, there'll be no more ego, and, we'll only be in a state of love, and there won't be fear, there won't be darkness. And although that sounds wonderful, and I think that may even correlate with what you're saying, it's also bigger than that. It's seeing everything from a very balanced perspective, and not just our individuated perspectives of the world.
Exactly. It's learning to live and exist in the big picture as opposed to the little picture. This little physical reality we have here is just a little picture. There's so much more to reality than that. This universe is just a speck in a much larger reality. So once we see it and live in it from the bigger picture, then everything becomes so much simpler, so much easier, so much more integrated. And we do lose, there's no reason to have ego. If you have that bigger picture, you realize the foolishness and the dysfunctionality of ego and expectations and beliefs and fear and all that stuff tends to go away. And when that does go away, then that's true. Kind of live in a state of grace, I guess you might say, when all that stuff goes away. But that doesn't mean that, one day when the clock turns, midnight and whatever, that we're going to all be living in a world with no fear. That's not going to happen. Things have to change one person at a time from the inside out. Nothing is going to suddenly change you at the being level. You have to change yourself. So there is no, you know, miraculous, you know, I don't know what we'll call it. You know, when the light suddenly turns on and we all become love, you know,
right.
that isn't going to happen. That's something that we're here to do that, to learn that, but it's not going to happen to us. It's going to something we have to create for ourselves. So it's not likely that, you know, one day soon, you know, everybody will be, you know, full of love and peace. That's not something to look, you know, to expect to happen in the near future. It's an individual thing. And as one does grow up, though, that does become, it does become true that you do live in a state of grace. You do let go of fear and ego, and you kind of outgrow that. And as you outgrow it, your world, your reality becomes bigger and bigger. And you live in this larger place that really doesn't have those kinds of differentiations between, you know, the physical and non-physical don't really have any meaning anymore. Oh, it's just this larger reality. And this aspect, if you're here and doing this way, this perspective, it's physical and you can do that. And this other perspective, it's not. And that's okay. It's just the way reality is. And it's all one thing. So I think you're right in that, you know, if we got rid of duality in the sense that, you know, the physical and the non-physical are different, and just each one is kind of logically, should we say, not distinct, but logically so different from the other that the two can never mix, that we can get rid of. And that duality should go away as we grow up. But it's an individual thing. So as, you know, as person A grows up, that duality disappears for person A, but doesn't person A growing up isn't going to do a whole lot for person B, you know, unless person A influences person B.
All right, we're going to talk about that when we come back. We're on our last break. You're listening to Intuitive Soul with Thomas Campbell and Laurie Houston on Sky Radio, powered by CBS.
Enlighten, empower, enrich. This is CBS Radio's The New Sky.
New horizons, no boundaries.
Strands in your eyes, the color them wonderful, stop me, steal my breath. And emeralds from mountains and thrust towards the sky.
Greatest.
Radio is now CBS Radio's The Sky.
Back to Intuitive Soul with Lori Houston.
248-545-SOUL.
248-545-7685. NewSkyRadio.com.
Welcome back. You're listening to Intuitive Soul. Today I have Tom Campbell with me. Tom can be found on the internet. He's written a series of books. You can actually Google them and download them from Google, My Big Toe. And therefore his website is mybigtoe.com, but it has hyphens in between, so my-big-toe.com. You can also go onto YouTube, and he has hours and hours of available knowledge that you can watch, listen, just to understand some of what he discusses. And we've been talking about, you know, the different laws or how we, and, you know, it really comes back to, you know, what we do within. And we were sort of talking on the break about how, you know, we can repeat all of these things, and until you're ready. And I was sort of joking, saying, yeah, you can have an aha moment and 10 minutes later, it mean absolutely nothing. And it's because, you know, that aha was from the intellectual perspective. And, you know, we truly can't create the change we want. We can't attract the things we want without having those changes come from within. So let's talk about that.
Okay, that almost gets us back to where we started
exactly.
last week, right, with the law of attraction.
Right.
And basically the way, you know, the law of attraction, again, is not a law. It's just the way consciousness works. There's two factors there. One is that you as consciousness have an intent, and that intent can modify future probability, because this is a digital information system. Because we live in a virtual reality, there is a projection of all the things that could possibly happen and the probability that they will. And you can change the probability that they will or that they won't with your intent. That's just the way the system works. So that's kind of the fundamental science behind the law of attraction. It's just the nature of, it's a feedback system. It's the nature of consciousness that it works that way. So your intent can change future probability. But the system is there, as we've said a little while ago, for you to grow up, for you to become love, for you to get rid of your ego and your fear. So if you use your intent in order to aggrandize your ego because, you know, in service of your fear, then you're asking the system to work against itself. Here's a system that allows you to modify future probability with your intent, but a system that's designed to help you evolve the quality of your consciousness and let go of fear and ego, you see?
Right.
So now if you are wanting to use your intent in order to serve your ego and serve your fear, you're asking the system to work against itself. The system will do one of two things in that case. It either just won't work, and then we say, well, the law of attraction doesn't work sometimes, or it will work and it will give you a lesson that often hurts. You know, you have this idea of how you want to serve your ego, and then you will get a change that will indeed serve your ego but leave you, you know, in a very bad place. And that's supposed to then be an aha moment for people, but mostly they kind of don't notice and keep right on going. But the system will give you a lesson, and often those lessons come with pain. So the idea is that we're here to evolve the quality of our consciousness, to grow up. That's our point and purpose. That's why we exist. That's why we're here in this virtual reality. And there's a big difference between understanding that at the intellectual level, which is the level that we're discussing now. We're doing all this on the intellectual level. Understand it on an intellectual level by itself is worth almost nothing at all. It's maybe worth just a little, because it may get you pointed or focused in the right direction, but if you never convert any of that intellectual understanding to change at the being level, then it means nothing. You know, it means that you can talk a good line of talk at a cocktail party and convince everybody that you know all the spiritual stuff, but It doesn't make you a spiritual person. Yeah. Knowing the words and reading the books doesn't turn you into a better person. That you have to do from the inside by making better choices. It's not what you know, but it's who you are. That's important. So that gets us then to this thing, with the law of attraction. It's not that you can force reality to give you what you want. You know, a spoiled child, right? A bank card. You make reality do what you want. That's not helpful. That's not growing, and that's not on your path to a deeper sense of quality in your consciousness. So that's not going to really work out for you if that's what you're trying to do. The first thing you need to do is get yourself straight to where what you're trying to program this reality for, and you say program it, the way you're trying to modify change, because you're trying to help someone, you're trying to heal someone, you're trying to grow up, you're trying to learn. And if you have those kinds of intents, then you will find this larger conscious system to be incredibly helpful, to go out of its way to give you what you need to make those choices to grow up at the being level.
Yeah.
But don't expect all those to be rosy and sweet. You know, if we were a little more grown up, we could learn without pain. There's no need to have pain to learn. But if you're not very grown up, the only thing that gets your attention is something that hurts. So if life is not good, then it's probably because you have a lot of lessons to learn and you're not doing things right. My experience is that when you do get beyond the point of needing pain for, you know, to get your attention, life is wonderful. It's joy. It's just a lot of fun. And it isn't all this constant soap opera wringing of hands and, she did this, he did that, and all, how everything is so awful, and how could it be that way, and how could they say that about me, and on and on and on and on and on. Life is not really like that. That's just your ego and your fear making you miserable. So that's one good test. You know, how grown up are you? Well, how much fun and how much joy and how much peace and love is your life? If you say, that's my life, peace and love, that's me, you know, then you're probably doing pretty well. But if you say, well, in general, life kind of sucks, you know, I'm struggling all the time. I'm always, you know, people aren't nice to me. My boss doesn't like me. My kids are doing drugs, et cetera, and all this stuff is terrible. Well, that's because you're not, you know, you're living still in fear. And the fear generates the ego and the beliefs and the expectations. And those are the things that make your life miserable. So kind of own it. You have to own it first. You see, that's the first conclusion at the being level. You have to realize, I am what I am, and here's the result. And take responsibility for that and the responsibility to change it. And not look at the outside world and say, well, I'm okay, but this outside world is just plain mean. You know, it just never gives me what I want.
Okay, we got to go. But okay. You have definitely made your point, Tom. Thank you very much once again. Unfortunately, we have to really go. So you're listening to Intuitive Soul with Tom Campbell and Lori Houston on Sky Radio, powered by CBS.